Well, a very good evening out there, and thanks for tuning to Terrace Talk, coming live from our studio here in Tralee with myself, Donal Barry. And tonight's show, well, it's going to be plenty live coverage because we have Kerry FC's first ever tilt at Silverware. They take on Waterford United in the Munster Senior Cup Final, and we'll be building up to that just after about 7.15 this evening, and the kick-off, of course, is 7.30, and it's all live and exclusive here on Terrace Talk. But to get us there, we have plenty more chat as well, including domestic, and even we've even got a slot this evening after 7 p.m. on the NFL. That's right, big time NFL comes to Kerry, and we'll be chatting with Michael McQuaid, the man behind it. Of course, Paddy Clifford and Kieran Donaghy, as you might not have seen them before. Really looking forward to that section, actually. And in the first hour, we're going to check in with the Kerry Masters after they defeated Kildare as they look forward to a clash with Dublin. And we will talk to Eddie O'Donoghue. And Eddie is, of course, the chairperson of the Seam Derry 9 GA Club, and they are County League Division 5 champions. I think we'll check in with them as well. Something John Kennedy would surely add to his collection if he got it. But next year again, John, maybe.
Next year, maybe.
And, of course, we will, of course, have plenty to talk about with the County League finished up as well. So we'll go through them in the company of Liam Brosson and John Kennedy. And, of course, we have our quarterfinal opponents known as well. That's Derry. We'll discuss that as well. As to the Kerry ladies, they're playing Meath, of course, in their All-Ireland quarter-final, and a big congratulations as well to the Kerry Camogie team, 3-13-1-10 win over Carlow at the weekend. Another fantastic win for them, actually. It's beginning to become normal, part of the norm now, winning week in, week out, which is fantastic to see. And we'll chat a little about the Kerry Miners' exits in the All-Ireland Championship at the back end of the show as well. Well, lads, nice to know you're doing your homework. If you can't see, Liam Brosson has a huge page, a book of paper, and John Kennedy just has the answers on his arm. Last week, ye told me in no uncertain terms the four, and you end up getting one right. Sweet God, that's fairly bad. You'd fail the leaving cert there, John, with 25%, would you?
It was bad, I'll tell you. We got a lot of them wrong, Donal, in fairness.
Shane Walsh saved you, did he?
He did. Walsh saved me. I suppose, Donal, it shows, you know, that when we come to the knockout stages, anything can happen in some of these games. Like, we look at the Derry and Mayo game.
Yeah,
I thought the form that Derry had coming into it, and the Mayo performs against Dublin, you know, but Derry certainly, they got there in the end. Very good game.
That wasn't a shock, really.
That wasn't a shock. No.
You didn't call it either, did you?
No, but we were kind of going on form, you know, with Derry coming into the Mayo's form and stuff like that. But I suppose the Louth and the Roscommon one.
Yeah, definitely.
Roscommon was the shock, Liam, was it?
Roscommon was a shock.
Louth wasn't even a shock, to be fair, was it?
Well, you'd be saying that we were looking at Cork and they were improving and everything. Yeah. It was just kind of like a big bang that left them down. But yeah, it wouldn't have been a major, but Roscommon was a shock, all right. Yeah. But I suppose not to Roscommon. No, they went with a game plan, and like what I couldn't understand with Tyrone, and I think I sent you a message halfway through it. They were down was it 6 or 7 points, and they were still playing 15 men behind the ball with no pressure. No, as if they were going to, it was like a game where, oh yeah, we're going to win this. But you can't, when you have to go out and you have to attack teams. Mm-hmm. And no, Tyrone deserved what they got, because at the way they went out and set up against them.
Yeah. Liam, John's point at the start that he was making, that this was the first time it felt like a championship. Do you know, there was knockout, there was real knockout. Is this what we've been missing all along? This absolutely one team this evening will not be in the championship when the final whistle goes. Is that what brought maybe the results, basically, maybe?
It is. And look, that you have that, and we had it when we were involved, that bit of fear. And Kerry will have that this week in training. Like, you'll know when you go in training this week, there'll be a bit of silence, because fellas will be trying to guess. They'll know there's big things at stake. And it was the same this weekend for all the teams. You'll lose, you were going home. And it brought that little edge as well. And I suppose also we're shoving nearer the top teams meeting each other as well. You know, so every round is getting better and better, the football wise. You know, so I suppose that helps as well. But you could see there's a bit of bite now, and you can't beat a bit of championship football.
Quick thing on Cork, because we've been building them up and we have a lot of listeners in Cork as well. Will that result put them back a lot, or is it just kind of another result along the way? But I mean, the disappointment on John Cleary in particular after that result, John, I mean, it hurt, didn't it?
Oh, it definitely hurt. It was one Cork were expecting to win, and probably should have won it.
Particularly after beating Donegal.
Yeah, exactly. I think that kind of sums up Cork, you know, the inconsistency that they have. Number of injuries, Brian Hurley not starting, Powter, you know, Tommy Welsh pulling a hamstring. a mistake by the keeper, White. Mm-hmm. You had all those up, but Cork should be ahead of that, to be fair to them. But Louth, you know, I didn't see that coming above in Portlaoise last week, Liam. You know, that performs against Kerry. They have a few very good players, Lennon, Tommy Dornan, mm-hmm. Grimes, Sam Mulroy.
Grimes is a big unit,
Grimes is a big unit. Yeah. And they have, I'll tell you, George Brennan has a great job done. A lot of people were saying when Mickey Hart was gone, yeah. Oh, that's the end of Louth, now they'll go back. George Brennan has come in, he's galvanised them down the last eight, but it was...
They've gone a step further.
Yeah. And what an atmosphere in Enniskeen. You know, a tight, compact pitch, and the crowd were on top of them. Great atmosphere, and a huge win for Louth. And, you know, they have nothing to lose next weekend. Mm-hmm. They're in bonus territory. But for Cork, you know, there'll be question marks asked. You know, Cork they're a proud county. They're not getting the results and not the consistency that is needed to compete with the big boys, and a big dent in John Cleary's CV, in fairness.
Mm-hmm. That said, Liam, as bad as they're in Cork, I'm sure the people in Mayo are fairly upset.
Yeah.
They're not getting to Croke Park this year either, which hasn't happened in a long time,
yeah. Yeah. And look, I suppose no more like Tyrone, deserving what they got. Mayo couldn't finish off the game again. They had the chances in original time to win the game, and they just couldn't get across the line. I don't know what it is with them, but they just can't seem to get across the line. And to be fair, Derry kept at it, and they kept knocking at the door, and eventually they broke them down. But the same, I suppose you could say, the same problems and the same issues above a Mayo, above putting that ball over the bar. Mm-hmm. You know, that one that was it came in the in line, and you could have punched it over the bar to put him up the 2 points. That was game over, and it went Moyes. You know, so it's small. All things like that, but when you come to this stage of the competition, that's where you need to be punishing.
Yeah. And some of the decisions, maybe taking off Aidan O'Shea,
was a big one.
He was flying, actually, and you know, there was obviously a reason for it, and management make decisions for the best, in the best interest of the team. But I thought Aidan O'Shea, he was a leader that you needed in the last 10 minutes, and he was a loss.
And I was surprised they could have brought him on again in extra time, yeah. And he never came back on. No, so it's all these small things that at this level to get over the line,
and yet there's penalties to put him out,
yeah, which
that's
is a pure lottery,
heartbreaking of everything. Okay, so first thing this morning, every up at 8:30, the draw. John Kennedy was on the draw a lot quicker than you.
Quicker, yeah.
Absolutely, my God, I'm waiting. Yeah. Nearly had the venues got for us and everything. Let's look at it. We obviously look, Kerry and Derry is one that we're going to talk about most. But let's just cast an eye on the other games as well, which is kind of crucial as well. Let's look at the Roscommon Armagh game. I mean, Roscommon on bonus territory, but Armagh have to win this. I mean, now they're favourites. I mean, there's a semi-final there for Armagh, which is huge progression if they can get there. Is that more pressure on them?
I think it'll be a bit more pressure, because everyone is saying that it's a game that they should be winning easily, you know, and Armagh never seem to be doing anything easily, but it's... It's, I suppose, if they were sitting down, that Roscommon were probably the team that you'd probably be aiming for. Yep. No, and I suppose they do deserve a bit of luck with the last few years, because between Pilties and between everything, but a very good side, very good footballers, same kind of thing that leaves them down at times when the pressure comes on. They seem to make the wrong decision, but like that now, they're very close to semi-final, mm-hmm. first time in a long time, and I think like Kieran Donahue and the guys, they'll be very happy with the draw, but they still have to get over the line.
The one thing Roscommon have is they're wonderful forwards.
They have good forwards, but I saw them in the league as well. They were very kind of, they're very hit and miss. Mm-hmm. You know, but the only thing, their conversion rate, they probably need 5 shots to every one, you know, that kind of way. Whereas come quarterfinals at this stage now, they need to be up in that a bit more, because they won't get away with it with likes of Armagh.
The performance of Derek Craig in the corner, he's absolutely... Oh, yeah. He did very well in the Sigerson as well. You know, a young player.
Foreign player too.
Foreign player. And he's taken pressure off the likes of Donny Smith and Enda Smith, Connor Cox, you know.
Yeah.
And Ulton Harney back after an injury. He was out most of the year. He's a huge plus for him.
Yeah.
They'll be tough enough to crack. But the only thing with the Armagh defence, Armagh have a strong defence. It's the can the Roscommon defence hold up the Armagh forwards?
Yeah. So Liam, Roscommon no chance.
Roscommon, I'd be going with Armagh, yeah.
You'd go with Armagh, fair enough. John Kennedy, you were kind of sweet on Roscommon, are you? Hedging your bits a little bit?
You know, they're a team that'll, you know, they're going through the league, they're missing a lot of players.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I think Armagh will win, but it'll be a battle.
Okay.
And they won't be fun, you know, they'll give it they're on bonus territory again.
Yeah.
Nothing to lose, whereas I think Armagh have to progress.
Yeah. John, your other favourite Connacht team, Galway?
Galway, yeah.
They got Donegal, they got Dublin.
Dublin, yeah.
Obviously, I suppose, look, Dublin are the farm team going in, didn't win the league, but look, I mean, it's nailed on they're going to win the All-Ireland, everybody, every bookies, everything, you know, obviously Kerry going to talk about it and the whole lot. Have Galway any chance?
If they have everybody, you know.
And they need everybody.
And they need everybody. They'll need Damien Comer going well, Shane Welch, you know, who's hugely in Swinfield for them, in fairness. That ankle injury, how is it? They have Killian McDade back. Rob Finnerty is kicking well, you know. I think they're it's probably, if they had another week, maybe those injuries would be right, those knocks and that. But look, they are where they're at. Mm. They're a very good footballing side. Dublin will suit him.
Yeah.
Because
Dublin will play football against
them. Dublin will play football.
And they will create chances and they will create openings and they won't
be mass defences and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is good as well. Talking about mass defences, Donegal and Louth.
Yeah, look, you'd fancy
they'll
it.
They'll be all running back. They're really playing the ball there, will they?
Donegal, Ulster champions. I don't know. I think the Galway loss is.
Does the Ulster champion tag, is it as meaning as people think? Because, I mean, we've seen all the older Ulster teams come through and their form hasn't been fantastic. Now, that said, Derry all of a sudden have found their form again.
And you still have 3 minutes quarter final.
And you still have Armagh.
Yeah.
3 out of 8. Let's go back. So, Donegal and Louth. Funnily enough,
I think this is
Jim McGuinness has a link to Louth, believe it or not, because when he was on his sabbatical, he was training Niamh Martin, St. Martin's, of course, and that's Craig Lynch, Wayne Campbell, and Sam Mulroy's club.
Yeah. And I think this is if you were the Louth management team, Donegal are probably the one team that you would give yourself a good chance to have a rattle off of. But I just think Donegal with their running and, you know, the defensive setup and Jimmy McGuinness bringing him back into Croke Parking. Can you remember back when we played him in a quarter final not a million years ago? You know, the atmosphere they'll bring. I think it'll be a good game, but I just think Donegal will just have too much legs for him.
And yet, if I was putting up an argument for Louth, I mean, Cork beat Donegal. Louth beat Cork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like... They,
but it just shows the way the championship has gone, really, isn't it?
They should be closer than that. Yeah. Donegal, John, you can't look beyond them, can you?
I think Donegal...
They shouldn't be...
I think McGuinness's factor in that, I think, will be Donegal, to be fair.
Okay, Kerry Derry.
How about that?
You, Liam, have said, we need a challenge, we need a tough challenge, we need a team to test us, we need a team to test us. Will you be saying that this time next week when Derry knock us out of the All-Ireland, maybe?
Oh, Jesus. I hope not. But look, I suppose this is the one that's going to catch the imagination.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bit of excitement about it. This time next week, we'll either know whether we were good enough or we're not.
Obviously, looking at it, Derry are the form of the four teams. We're moving into the next round, to the quarterfinals.
Yeah. They were a draw you wouldn't have wanted.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted them.
But
we have it now, yeah.
Plus, Mickey Hart added in this year, not like last year. Derry probably left Croke Park last year feeling they should have won it.
Yeah.
Kerry last year kind of finally igniting in Croke Park for that 15 minutes towards the end where we all of a sudden saw them move on to a second gear and we were, you know, coming home saying, God, you know, this is good, this is what we're looking for. There's so many stories to be written. Kerry Derry, first game of the league where the boys basically didn't take any break at all, they went straight into win that. And between all that, it will simply come down to who will outscore each other. We really need our forwards on fire the next day.
We do. And I suppose when you look at the teams, now Derry have the players who can nullify our forwards, mm-hmm. and vice versa. They're very evenly balanced. I think this will come down to midfield as well. Now, we're probably meeting two of the best midfielders in the country.
Yeah. Are we going to be under pressure? I mean,
we're going to be under pressure.
Rodgers and Glasser.
But if we can break any way even, you know, even just slightly let them beat us, but we can't be outplayed there completely because if we do, we'll be in trouble. Because
will that influence our kick out? I mean, obviously, they're not going to build them down the middle of the field where you have two guys who can actually win ball. So is there going to be more pressure now on our wing backs and corner backs to gather ball at a lightning pace?
There will, yeah.
But I think even more so than the kick outs, tis their general play. Like Brendan Rodgers, the last day he went up and kicked points.
Great scores.
Tis their mobility. Conor Glass, who has been quiet, they're going to be a handful on the ball, not alone the kick outs. I think they're box to box players.
This Murray, you know, corner forward as well, after giving him a new dimension as well with McCluskey inside. You know, so they have danger as well. And you know what's the biggest thing with them is they're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Because there has been a lot of said about them in the last few weeks. Like we said it here last week, that if they got over Mayo, it could spark them. You know? And if we sat down at the start of the year, there was two teams, you would have besides ourselves, it was Dublin and Derry. They were the two teams that we were at everyone's right. tip of their tongue. They have gone nowhere. No, so they are going to be a big danger, and we'll have to be we'll have to bring our A game. And it's my worry is that we haven't seen our A game all year. You know, can we like hit a switch and bring it the next day? So all these answers will be
John
recovered.
Kennedy, is there an A game there? Is what we see what we have, and that's it? Is there another level? We were all hoping that there is another level, and we all want to go to another level. But sometimes maybe what you see is what you have.
Well, we're hoping there is. If there isn't, we'll be out of the championship next week. I think it's as simple as that. We have to go to another level. What we saw against Louth, Meath and Monaghan will not beat Derry. It's their intensity, it's their ferocious tackling, their stamina, their work rate. Like Liam said, which is a very key point, they have the players, the likes of Christy McCaig, the likes of Garrett McInnes, mm-hmm. the two midfielders, McGuigan up front, Doherty, McFall. These are guys that are
good. Would the worrying aspect of those names, they struck form against Mayo the last day when they were needed. I mean, I won't say they were missing in other games, but they weren't themselves. But the last evening, particularly that last point, I mean, all the characters you mentioned were involved in that. Every one of them had it. You know, would that be the more worrying thing, that the Derry big-time players have really shown up, and we're hoping that our big-time players will show up?
Well, that's it, exactly. It has ingredients, been a cracker, been in fairness, and, you know, it's a game we need, because I think we draw a lesser team and get to semi-final, we still have nothing learned. Mm-hmm. This is crucial. If we can beat Derry, then we're
going to fear no one, didn't I?
Correct. You're going to semi-final then in confidence. Now, what has been said all along and what has been done is it's over. It's going to be 70 plus minutes on Sunday evening, and it's going to take our best display of the season to beat Derry.
Will we do it?
I think we can.
Liam Brosnan?
I think we can, but there's a lot of things. And everyone,
they're very washy.
And everyone that we're meeting, because we don't know, we haven't seen Kerry, you know, kind of ignite us this year.
I'll ask the question a different way. If you don't see the Kerry that you expect to see after 20 minutes the next day, will Kerry
win? Trouble.
We're in trouble then.
We're in trouble then. Okay. Yeah. Because Derry are a team as well, and our biggest failing this year is teams attacking us down the middle and running through us. Derry, and I think if the lessons we learned from last year's semi-final is that Derry never punished us. Mm. They got the chances, but they never punished us. So you can't be giving them chances again.
And Shane Ryan better watch himself.
Shane Ryan could be our hero next month, Sunday night.
He won't be going to go then, because I'd say Mickey Hart won't let him that far up the field without getting a belt of a shoulder. Listen, we'll take a quick commercial break. After that, we talk about the County Football League.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Hi, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Donal Barry here with you until 7:30 this evening, of course. And if you want to find out where you're going to listen to Kerry FC versus Waterford United in the Munster Cup, that is on live from 7:30 here this evening on Radio Kerry, so don't change a tile at all. And hopefully they'll have a cup in their hands, like my next man who has a cup in his hands, Eddie O'Donoghue, of course, the chairperson of Sneem Derry Nan, as it is now. Big congrats, of course, because they are the County League Division 5 champions. And of course, we're going to talk about the County League with the boys now, and we're going all the way from 1 down to maybe even 6, but we'll start with Eddie. Eddie, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Just before the thing there, I'm chairman of the Derry Nan Club.
You're one half of them.
We're on identity, and his team chairman then is Kieran Burns.
Oh, Kieran Burns. Oh, my God. Mr. Burns will be giving out to me, mate. But come here to me. For the purpose of this, it's the amalgamation. It's an amalgamation going a nice while now, Eddie, isn't it?
Well, the amalgamation, of course, started in 2009. And, I went through there all knitting well together. And which is a long time since probably we won something. But, I suppose our population, as you know, a lot of our players went away. And, well, now we're at the peak at the moment. We're playing well. We're a great little unit together. Everybody seems to be happy, and there's players from the young and the old, and they're mixing well together. And I suppose that's the. I suppose we have a manager now, Andrew Fitzgerald, and he brought a lot of good things into the club. Maybe sometimes often you're in a rural place, maybe you might. You're thinking that, look, we'll never get out and we'll never win something good. So I think he got that kind of a bond into the players, and that's where they're now at the moment anyway.
Absolutely fantastic work, of course. Come here to me, for the people that don't know, look, they'll see the signpost, the Daniel O'Connell post and all that kind of stuff, but Derry Nairn has a lot more, a lot of good footballers down the years and on the road back to Sneem and the whole lot. What does it mean for the club? Because you've obviously gone through some awful hard times, particularly with rural, the population, a lot of your very talented players kind of moving out and moving away for work and the whole lot. What does it mean to kind of finally get over the line, even for, we'll say, the communities of Derry Nairn and Sneem?
I suppose, in the end of the day, I suppose everybody wants to win, and I suppose it takes a lot of time. I suppose a lot of time and patience. I suppose we're nothing different, we say, to the big clubs in Kerry. I suppose we are probably paying the same kind of money. You're paying the same affiliations. You're the same kind of football. You're the same jerseys and the whole lot of the gear. And probably it's maybe a lot of, not being boys, but a lot of maybe the smaller clubs sometimes don't shine on, and that's what we're doing at the moment. We're very happy with what we have. Our minors, and of course, you know, we're amalgamated with the minors. You've got Sneem and Derry Nairn and Tossist and Timpanogh, they're all amalgamated together, which is, you know, maybe for training, it's maybe a bit far away. You're training Timpanogh and you're training Tossist, and like, you know, it's all coming together. They're winning games, and only for that, I suppose, a lot of the players probably wouldn't be around and probably go in and do some other kind of sport. That's basically what it's all about.
Absolutely. And of course, they are the ancestral home of one of the greatest Kerry footballers at the moment as well, maybe even two of them. When you look through, Eddie, the amount of players that have left places like Derry Nairn and Sneem, and I suppose they've relocated, and then you look back at our good friend Mr. Hussey, still playing football, still togging out.
Yeah, he was actually, though, we were missing our manager yesterday, and he came into place. He was the manager for yesterday, and he spoke very well to the boys, and they were all listening, I'm sure. And we got over the line, and look, he has the experience. He wore the Kerry jersey with distinction, and I'm sure he's at 42. He's still home, and he's, I'd say, ready for the South Kerry Championship when it starts.
Absolutely. And he'll take freeze all day and win him free as well, did he?
He'll take freeze and he'll win freeze. No problem. He has that kind of an act, like.
Absolutely.
The first to go always, he's there.
Absolutely. Ron was always good to get out to the ball first anyway. Come here, Eddie. What's the story? You're moving up to four. You've been there before, of course. I mean, you kind of come up and down.
In 2016, we were in the same hotel now. Mm-hmm. We'd beat Waterford in that game. And then in 1987, then we played Churchill. But we never got to the top. We never got the trophy. So now this is the first time ever that we got we're at the top of the point, at the point section, we call it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic.
Listen, that was a good bonus, yeah.
Fair play. Eddie, finally, of course, you beat Douai, good, tough North Kerry team, travelling up and down, big name, big reputations as well. Lot of big teams in Division 4. Anybody that you're looking in particular to have a go at? I mean, I think Curragh are down there now.
Yeah. Well, I actually didn't look at the list, and I went to the way we're playing at the moment. I don't think, to be honest, we'll fear anybody at the moment anyway. Yesterday no, we played, and we had on the probably the starting 15, we had three players injured. So for a small club with maybe 22 players, it's a hard task, like.
Brilliant, fair play. It's a great story. Yeah. Listen, Eddie, fair play. Thanks very much. And the very best. Look,
hold on for a second. These are very, very important people now that I'm going to read out, you know, at the moment. They would be our sponsors.
Right,
a great man, the Mortimer, he passed away a short while ago. Crow and Shea, he always gave us the jersey. And he gave us the scoreboard, and you were Brendan Garman's name. He gave us the black shop, the team. You know, Richard White, our local goalkeeper there, he gave us a lot of gear there, footballs and first aid there for the underage. And you know, Michael Lonnie, our local man there, he was playing fullback for us. He sponsored the football with the last couple of years. And I went from the bottom of my heart, I would like to thank all them people, because only for them people we wouldn't be alive today, and yeah. we wouldn't be playing football either.
Yeah, absolutely, fair play, and all great. Brendan Galvin, of course, a fantastic man as well.
There was one time back in the day, like there was some outstanding football there by Sneem. I think back in the day, I think they were in Division One, I think, for 10 years.
They were in it forever, Eddie. Don't mind that, I'd say. And they won the South Kerry Minors 6 years in a row, and you used to throw them two players as well, Derry Nan, just to make sure he got over the line every year. Listen, Eddie, it's great.
It's all about winning, it's really interesting.
Absolutely fantastic. Listen, Eddie, thanks very much. We could talk all night, and we might do it another night. Liam and John, I mean, we can talk about the county league, but the essence of it is the small club, Liam. Do you know?
Yeah.
It's the fact that Sneem, Derry Nan are the champions this evening. It's there for the year for them. They're moving up to four. They've only got 22 players. I mean, can you imagine going through a whole season with 22? If I said that to you 10 years ago, you'd say, that's nonsense. No, it's not nonsense anymore, because Curragh are the same, St. Mary's are the same, St. Michael's, Foylmore have 20 players. The players are disappearing at a rapid rate, and it's getting tougher and tougher to compete.
It is, but the only thing, the likes of the Eddies are still around in every club. Just listening to him there, John, you know, through the voice, you know, he's thanking everyone, even the guys who sponsored the balls.
Yeah.
You know, the small little things that players take for granted.
Yeah.
You know, the gear and all this kind of stuff, underage. No, but it's great, yeah. And it's getting harder and harder for every club.
Yeah.
No, because with depopulation and and there's so many sports that you're battling up against in as well, and it's so easy, you know, for a young fella to get on a plane and fly someplace, and he's gone for a couple of weeks and whatever, missing a couple of county league matches. But the likes of the 80s keep it going, and I could name, they're in every club. I could name fellas around, and they're the fellas that keep the whole thing. And this county, I think the county league that we have is a fabulous competition, because you find your level. No, you go up 1 year, and next thing you could be down the following year, but you still have 11 games the year after. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as if we're going to lose out on anything, but every club finds their own level.
Yeah. Let's talk about levels. So, John Kennedy, is it any surprise that Dr. Crokes are the number one club in the whole county in the county league? A perfect 11 from 11 in Division 1, and an average winning margin of 11 points per game.
Yeah.
Now, that's an average winning margin of 11 points per game. It's frightening stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, we said that going back a few months ago when we had Pat Chabas coming back in. This guy is, he's the Midas touch with Crokes. He's, in my mind, he's one of the best coaches in the country. I worked under him there with the Miners for a year, and a fantastic football brain. But he gets the best out of Dr. Crokes, playing a style of football that only Crokes can do. Mm. And, you know, with all due respect to him, it was a foregone conclusion from early on that Crokes were going to win the league. Mm. And I can tell you, they're, if you were a betting man, it would be hard to bet against them in the club championship. Yeah. Being honest with you, they're playing some fantastic football, you know, and the scores they're putting up, incredible scores. But it's the style of football they play, it's their ability on the ball, it's their kick passing, it's the way they can hold possession. They're the total package, and Patchy is central to that.
Liam, if they were the favourites, everybody would say they're favourites. You would have got big money on Lone Rangers coming second.
Yeah.
Particularly coming up. I mean, Liam Hassett certainly has them flying. They've got a great bunch of players coming through. But like, compared to this time last year, they were in Division 2, but they'd only one loss from their 11 games and two draws, and the loss, of course, was to the Crokes.
Yeah.
So there's something happening back in Lone Rangers.
Something we've been watching it for the last few years.
Yep.
They've been coming. You see, they're on the 20s, they're in the semi-finals at Wednesday night. I know there's a bit of hullabaloo about it, but look, they're there, so they have the numbers. You know, their seniors are going well. So at underage, they have big numbers well underage, and they're playing at a high division. And that's the one thing I always liked about the Crokes as well, is that they're underage footballers. They mightn't be the best, but they'll put them in at a high division. Yep. So they're playing at a high brand of football at all times.
They put them in the deep water all the time.
In the deep times. So they eventually come to the top then.
Yep.
And that's what they have done. But definitely Lone Rangers are a team that really are coming.
John Kennedy, down to the relegation side. You know, I suppose you're watching the relegation battle every week below in Division 5 and seeing who's got two extra points this week or whatever. Congratulations on surviving, by the way. But Rahilly's escaped again. This time last year they played Austin Sexton and relegated them, and that was kind of a big thing. Dayscape, but Dingle, Ungaeltacht and Milltown Castle Main, all down. Big enough names to go down.
Yeah, tis twill tell you how competitive it is, in fairness. Look, Milltown Castle Main, an up and coming, you know, after coming from intermediate, getting to senior, you know, Dingle and Gaeltacht going down, it says a lot about maybe the state of West Kerry football too, yeah. And numbers. You ask yourself the question, how are the numbers out there? Even though you'd say that Milltown Castle Main have a lot of numbers, but it's a question that's going to be asked more and more over the next number of years. Listen to Eddie there. People say, oh, the teams in Division 5 and Division 4 and 5 and 6, you know, numbers are tight in rural areas, but it's becoming a problem in a lot of areas across the board. Yeah. And you're missing a few key players can make a huge difference.
Yeah. I'm going to touch on that point because we'll talk about Dingle one more time. I mean, they scored 111 points, or their cumulative score was 111 between goals and points and the whole lot, 111, which was the lowest in Division 1 by a nice way. And then, look, you don't have to be a genius. That's 10 points a game they're scoring, 1-7, 2-4, 10 points. That's not the Dingle we know. I mean, the Dingle we know are free-scoring forwards. Do teams like Dingle get unfairly crucified, maybe, and maybe crucified might even be the strong word, by having an over extension of players who are kind of on the Kerry team, on the Kerry panel, off the Kerry panel, the whole lot. It does affect you,
it does, and stacked probably are a thing of that as well with the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now, having guys on the squad and now inside training, not playing with the first 15, but not playing with stacks, not playing with our club either. So they do, yeah, and Dingle, I suppose, you could see Dingle are probably are definitely a team who suffer from that.
They have suffered definitely from that. I mean, take Paul Gainey alone, you know, Tom Sullivan, put those two into this, you know, Barry Dan, they are huge names, like
Dylan at club level,
like Conor Gainey. I mean, those guys would be kicking scores to be totally different complexion. Yeah. But that is the disadvantage of having county players.
Yeah, that's it. And then I suppose, you know, fair play. I mean, Rathmore were third, Spa were fourth, Kilcommon were fifth. I mean, a very solid outcome for them, ahead of Legion in sixth, Glenfleske in seventh. And then when you go through, Rathmore, Spa, Kilcommon, Legion, Glenfleske, Crokes won it. They're all East Kerry teams.
You have six East Kerry teams in that, like, yeah. So it just shows we'd be here and we'd be getting calls about East Kerry we've been saying it, the clubs are putting in the effort and they're really pushing and they're playing a high standard of football.
And they're at a higher level.
Yeah.
Come here, getting back to a higher level, John Kennedy, Austin Stacks, they made it back. They were always going to kind of make it back. Beaufort and Glenbeglin Carr with them. Are you surprised any of those two came back with them?
Beaufort have been very consistent. They've been one of the teams in the intermediate championship over the last number of years. Very consistent. You know, again, missing Mike Breen, who was hugely influential, but finishing second there, and Glenbeigh back in Division 1 again.
Big one for Glenbeigh.
That's a big one for Glenbeigh. Yeah.
And they turned over Stacks.
That's right, yeah.
Which was a big win. Can I touch on Stacks 1 second with you, Liam, and much like the Dingle one, and it's in the reverse. Stacks only conceded 95 points in 11 games. That's only 8.5 points a game they conceded.
Yeah.
Was that always in the Stacks locker? Good defence?
It probably was, but you have Jack O'Shea back, you have Gray Horn back. Mm-hmm. Now you have all these guys are back again for the Stacks. Mm-hmm. Plus they had a lot of injury. I think Billy had a lot of injuries last year as well, and they're all back, and they have a lot of good minors coming through it last year. So Stacks are building now again. You know, they probably got the wake up call that they got, and they are building. But I think having your numbers back, and I think Michal Burns going back to Crokes as well this year was a big one as well. You know, halfway through the season, you're bringing in a guy like that,
a scoring forward.
No, it was a big thing as well. So all these small things helped the clubs to push on.
Finally, on Division 2, one Tralee team gone up, Nagail gone down, John. A senior county championship outfit side, you know, they're going to be playing in Division 3 next year in the league. That's the way it is. Only 3 draws over 11 games. No win, 8 losses. I mean,
very disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they had a lot of injuries earlier on in the season. In the last season as well in the championship. You know, Jack Barry gone away, missing Dermot. You know, you need, they're your leaders. And it's disappointing for the lads coming through. And, you know, it's difficult. They're a county championship team. And they're down in Division 3. And that's a dint. But look, there's a lot of great work going on there at underage. It takes time, but they'll come back up again. But, you know, they need their leaders. And we'll see the difference, I think, in the championship, that when they have Dermot back, you know, there'll be different kettle of fish. These guys, they bring guys with them. Mm-hmm. But very disappointing.
Yeah. Fieries winning Division 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
French Fieries. Amos.
Yeah.
He'll be up for manager of the month now, will he? Garvey's
as well as Fieries. But no, fair play to him. Every time I talk to fellas back there, you know, he brought a professional approach. No, he is a very approachable kind of a guy anyway. You know, and I think that's very important for club teams, because when a fella comes up to you and says, I'm not around next week, there's two things going through your head, but you have to say the right thing, you know, because you'll probably need him the week after again. And Seamus is that type of guy. Fieries, good young team. No, they have good numbers. They won, was it the junior there? Was it 2 years? Yeah, 2 years ago, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So they're building on that. They're heading up to Division 2 now, which they're going to be playing a high brand of football as well. So they need to push on. And I think a big target for them this year will be the junior premier.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If they can put up a good showing in that. Now, they're a team that I wouldn't like to be meeting, because they have a lot of good footballers.
They done well the championship last year. If you remember, they won two games in their group. They got knocked out over points difference.
That's right,
Which tells you that there's quality. Well done to Churchill as well on 14.
They're a young side. They're a young side coming through Churchill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teams going down. Knocknagoshal, they're on the way down. Cora.
But it's like you find your level, Donal. No, the league doesn't lie. You've 11 games. Mm-hmm. No, they just weren't good enough. Even though they won 3 and drew 2.
I was saying that they were competitive. Sometimes those two
very
draws,
competitive.
I mean,
and
God, like when you leave a point after.
And 3 was very competitive. I think up to the last game, there was 4 or 5 teams who could have went down, and 4 or 5 teams who could have went up on the last day. You know, so it's But like I said, the league, you'll find your level. No, and I think Cora will have to build for next year in Division 4, meeting the likes of Sneem and these fellas. And they'll have just what it'll do is you regroup and pull up your socks and go again.
Absolutely. And of course, St. Mary's and Old Skull must play each other in a playoff to see who goes down,
as well.
And I'm sure Eddie is sitting at home back in Steam Derrynane saying, Christy, we got the Mary's, maybe we'll be at the pack Derrynane or Father Breen Park.
It'll
be sold out. Listen, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back after talking Kerry Masters and more on the league as well.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we'll go back to the County League in a moment. We're down there in Division 4. Maybe our next man might be able to fill us in Division 4 as well. Dennis Kinley joins us. The Kerry Masters, a fantastic win over Kildare, of course, in Brosna. You might remember a week or two ago we had the preview piece first and the whole lot. Dennis, everything went well. You were expecting kind of a tough, dogged fight from Kildare. Did you get that?
I don't. We did. I suppose. Look, they came down with a few players missing from their squad, but look, they made it tough for us. They kind of they filtered back and they kind of crowded us out, and they tried to catch us in the counter attack. Like, but to be honest, look, it was difficult on the night. We kind of felt scores were kind of at a premium when we got into shooting zones, that they had bodies around us, you know, and it just was kind of a day to kind of be patient and trying to walk the ball around and mind the ball, and because they're a physical team, like, you know, they like to kind of bump off lads, like, you know, and stuff and push out. But that made it difficult, without a doubt. We didn't have it all our own way, like, you know. The scoreboard might suggest a little bit different, like, but no, they definitely deserved a few more scores than they actually got. But we left a few scores after us as well, so it was a tough night at the office, to be honest. Now, mm-hmm.
And of course, the result is probably the most important thing, I suppose, at the end of it, and maybe there's a few learnings to be got along the way as well, which is fantastic. But it doesn't get any easier because you're Dublin next.
Yeah, no, the Dublin, I suppose, is the real kind of, like, we always kind of looked at Tyrone and Dublin being the two leaders of the Masters competition, and like they actually met last weekend as well. So between the two, Dublin came out on top in this one with a big scoreline. So that was a surprise. I think that's the first time I've seen Tyrone being beaten in the 3 years that we're in the competition. So like I know Tyrone now are missing a couple of their leaders in likes of Stephen O'Neill and Conor Gormley, but I think they're involved with inter-county at the moment with Kevin, and I don't know where Connor is at the moment, but he's definitely not as playing as much as he used to be. But Dublin definitely turned up on the day and put 5-18 past them, which, to be honest, like, was an incredible scoreline, like, for the Tyrone team that's won 2 in a row in this competition, like, you know.
And they brought back a fellow who has a North Kerry mother.
They did. No, this could be a go either way for us now next weekend. Like, you know, look, you always love to go up against the best in the country, like, and
well, they don't come much bigger than Bernard Brogan, to be fair. I mean,
no.
Are your whole fullback unit getting ready for it, or is it just a man to man job maybe?
Look, we'll see how.
It don't give too much away.
No, well, look, we're meeting now tomorrow night. We're going to go through a plan. I suppose David Clifford now and Paddy Howe will have to come up with a game plan for that. If he's in there, like, you know, unless he's gone on holidays. Hopefully he might be on holidays. But look, to be honest, we'd love to play against the likes of him, like, no matter what way it turns the game, like. But these are the guys you want to play against, like, you know, no point going out against Dublin and hoping their best player's missing. Yeah. We want to play against their best players, and that's what this is all about, like. So we want to have our best team out. We want them to have their best team out and, you know, have a cut off them and learn as much as we can. Maybe we might meet them later on in the competition and we may have learned something from them and we can take forward maybe to the latter stages of the league, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that's what it's all about.
And of course it is what it's about, because it's a game that you play, win or lose. I mean, obviously winning is the important part, but the losing isn't the end of the road either, because you probably have enough in the bank maybe to get you into the higher end of the tournament at the end of it anyway, have you?
Well, that's it. Like, I suppose there's three teams at the moment with full points. Ourselves and Dublin have a 100% record, and also Roscommon, which are kind of the surprise team of the lot at the moment. Like, they've done well. They've got their house in order this year, and they've got the results along the way. So they probably have their two hardest games played, so it looks like they could go all the way unbeaten. Dublin and ourselves in Saturday week will be, I suppose, the other contenders at the top of the table. And after that, there's a couple of teams that he may lose one game, let's say. So either Dublin or ourselves, and maybe Tyrone and Cork and Derry are all in that group. Let's say they'll be chasing maybe the last two spots after the teams that would have topped the group. So it's still on the melting pot, like, for the top tier. Yeah. And we hope to be there, hopefully, when it comes down to it.
Fingers crossed. When's that Dublin game, Dennis?
That's on the 6th of July now, and that's going to be played up in Galway. So it's a neutral venue. So it was we agreed with Dublin, look, we'd make it a trip out of it, and they're going to come down to Galway to play us down there. So that's something to look forward to, I suppose, really.
Fantastic, fair play. And of course, I can't talk about the County League and saying fair play, my van. You escaped the relegation, did you?
We mean we missed out in promotion, you mean. look, it's a young team, I suppose. They're learning a lot by being in that division. And the longer they can stay in that division, hopefully they may learn enough to kind of challenge. There's a lot of experienced teams in those divisions. Like, it's a hard enough division to get out of.
Yeah.
So it's a long season for them, especially young lads. You know, we have a lot of lads going to leave and certain stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully now next year we'll have a couple of lads that were involved in the minors last year. They haven't actually played a game yet for my van because of leaving certain injuries and stuff like that. So they may come good yet in the county championship, the club championship, sorry.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they're made of.
Absolutely. They've done fairly well. I mean, 4 wins out of 11 in a competitive division, a draw thrown in there as well. And as I said, doing enough to kind of stay in the division. And I think your point is well made. The longer you can stay in these divisions, you do learn your trade. And I suppose you develop the team bond and aspect and the whole lot. And of course, you have your neighbours. Of course, Brosnan are moving on. You have Bale staying with you, and you have Ballyduff staying with you as well. Probably not a few little local derbies there in as well. Come here, listen, Dennis, thanks very much. The very best to look against Dublin. And we'll be keeping an eye on it, and we'll check in with you as well after that game in Galway on the 6th of July, yes?
That's right, yeah. No, that's the one.
Fantastic. And that's above in Galway. John Kennedy, we're talking to Dennis Kennedy there, of course, the Kerry Masters, the whole lot. Still a huge proud club man, of course, my van. And a very valid point, actually. The longer you can stay in these divisions and play teams like that, you do develop, and particularly if you're a young team.
Oh, definitely. Especially, we'll say, if you go down a division or if you're promoted, to stay in that division for the next year again, not to go down again. And my van are a team with a lot of young fellas. But it's the same with a lot of the clubs that have younger players. It's an adjustment from minor up to senior. It takes a bit of time, and if you can consolidate your position, you know, you could be in a position to go up then. But they're so competitive. Yeah. We've been saying it off the air. All the divisions are so competitive that, you know, it's right down to the last game, and that makes it what it is.
I think the 3 up, 3 down makes it very interesting.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Particularly going up, I mean, it helps the teams that are kind of third, fourth and fifth to stay in the competition. St. Sennans, winners of Division 4, 11 from 11. A fine team, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're, you know, they started very well. They continued it. You know, emphatic victories throughout. Yeah. Very impressive. A lot of quality players. Great management team there. Look, and they led the way. It was a matter of who was going to be second and third.
And they have the dual thing going on too, don't they? Yeah, which can be awkward enough at times.
And they manage it very well. Do you know? And I remember for years there with Mihaly, and she was involved with St. Sinners before. They manage it very well with Brendan Mahoney. And you know that's the key to it. I think is how you manage it and how you look after players. Because if one team is dominant over the other, it won't be successful. But certainly it seems to be working. Crater County hurling champions and Sinners are going up a division, so
absolutely. Fair play to them. Taking Castle Gregory with him, which is fantastic for Castle Gregory, 17 points, 8 wins, a loss and a draw, and Brusnet going with him as well, 7-1-3. Important for Brusnet to be kind of going back up again, Liam, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because they've a fantastic club out there. I know they struggled for minors for a couple of years, but I was talking to a couple of lads, they were saying there's a sprinkle of them starting to come through now again, and it's always important now to move up, because there's always a thing in the county league, if you go up, even though you mightn't think you're good enough to go up, but you're a year away from going down again.
Exactly.
That's the thing, like, it's just this, you take your chance when
take your chances
when you go up, even though you think you mightn't be, you might, but you're a year away from a division below you again, so that's important.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brusnet, 7 wins and then 3 draws, so they were really, you know, in close contention for that.
Yeah, Cremorne, Lisbon and St. Michael's Fowler on the drop. Right, Division 5, I suppose it's Gas talking about his teams going up and going down. John, can you explain it to us? Because we have an A and a B and we're kind of all over the place. Do you know yourselves what's happening at times there?
Division 5 was really competitive this year. There was A and B. And the way they did it was the top 4 teams in A and B went into the top 8.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 to be promoted came out of that. The bottom 8 teams, the bottom 4 in each, went to the bottom 8.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 were being relegated out of that.
Okay.
So it really made bottom competitive.
Yeah. About 3 competitions in that competition.
And it really went, you know, from our own point of view there, we beat Finogoten in SD and we went down to Villincha the following week. And well done to Villincha for winning the Shield.
Yeah.
That was a great win yesterday against Skinny
Gilla.
It was a tough game down there. We got a draw, which secured our position, but it was so competitive.
When you say you got a draw now, like...
we were leading the game, actually, and they came back in typical Villincha fashion you know, we got a free in the last minute to draw it, but... you know, I'd say a draw was probably a fair result, but they're an up and come. It's great to see Villincha back.
Yeah, the flag is up again.
And I mean that genuinely, because, you know, two sis likewise, these are proud people, and going to visit them and play matches against them, it's so competitive. But, you know, when the game is over, you have the chat and you have a cup of tea and you move on, and well done to them. But it's important to keep that identity. But again, Division 5 was ultra competitive this year, and, you know, well done to our North Kerry neighbours, Dewar, for securing promotion as well under John Halpin. And of course to Sneem Darinan and Teddy, you know, great victory for them, and you know, winning that and getting promotion.
Fair play. We'll finish on a high note. Bob in Tralee. Good evening, Bob. Donal, you're depressing the county. You think you can qualify like last year? The 4 teams that rested last weekend will prevail. Kerry didn't have to get out of second gear to top their group. They're probably geared training to hit a high peak next weekend. The 4 games at the weekend were so boring. Hand passing over and back in the middle third of the field. Thank God for the Tailteann Cup. The game between Sligo and Down, and also the Armagh Miners. And that's from Bob in Tralee, who will probably be sitting here next weekend between the two of you, because he can predict.
I hope Bob is right.
Bob is a happy fella. Hi Donal and lads. Dingle are missing their 5 county players, and this has shown. Yeah, absolutely, we touched on that as well. And lads, we're very proud of the fact that we have 5 Dingle players on the Kerry panel. But leaving aside Tom O'Sullivan, Paul Ganey, the other 3 players, Barry Dan, Dylan and Conor Ganey, haven't played 15 minutes of championship football this year. Why did they have to watch their club go down to Division 2 when it's highly unlikely that they'll get a run next weekend? And if they do, it'll be for a minute or two, which seems to be the style now. It is. It's very hard to sit on the bench and see the team that you kept there for years to go down.
And it's happening at under 20 level in as well. Like, and it says,
A debate for another night. Time has caught us. After the break, it's NFL.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, just before we go on to our next guest, guys, the Kerry Miners. Heartbreak again, Liam. Lost out to Derry. Good Derry team, though.
Good Derry team. Going for back-to-back. All Ireland's. A lot of strong players. Young fella there called James Sargent. I'd say he's a guy we'll be looking out to know in the years to come. But, yeah, look, it's a hard one to take. We've all been in them positions. And I suppose when they're that age, and especially now they're younger, you know, they've been together for so long as a group. You could see Wayne and the man had a fierce bond together, and they really had improved, and they were getting better, and just to lose out by a point, I suppose it's a hard pill to swallow. But look, there's a lot of guys there who are really after kind of putting their names out there that we can be watching for years to come, and I do think, look, at the end of the day, it's a stepping stone at minor level. But I know you'll have the people saying, look, we haven't won a minor again in so long and stuff like that, but it's not an easy competition to win.
It's hard to beat an Ardy, isn't it?
They are, yeah. Whether they seem to be, especially at minor level, whether they seem, and yeah, yeah.
That'll link well with my next guest, of course. NFL season preview night is coming to the Kingdom, of course, and it's a Pro Football Ireland comes to Kerry for the very first time with guest panellists of Paddy Clifford and Kieran Donahue ready to share their views on, I suppose, the upcoming season and their clubs and the whole lot. And my next guest is the brainchild behind the event, which is coming to the Kingdom next August. And we're going to keep Liam and John here because Liam's a huge NFL fan. John, he's still translating the three letters. We'll explain that to him in a second. Michael McQuaid, good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Lads, thanks very much for having me. How's it getting on?
Not too bad. Come here, NFL season preview night coming to the Kingdom. Sell it to us.
A Tyrone man going to Kerry in August.
I was going to leave the Tyrone bit out.
we're bringing what's essentially things that you've seen really in Dublin, Belfast, and I guess in England as well, different events, like live events. We're trying to bring one to Kerry where it focuses on not just the start of the NFL season, which is, I believe, 3 weeks after that, but also brings a real Kerry feel to it. So yeah, like having guys like Paddy Clifford, Kieran Donaghy, Darren O'Sullivan, and a couple of different guests just to be announced as well. You get their background in terms of why they enjoy it, and also it really looks ahead to the season. So honestly, we can't wait to get down there because the demand's been fantastic, and you know there's so many fans down there that really deserve a night like this, because sometimes I think it is based too much in Dublin, and we definitely want to take it west.
Mm-hmm. And come here to me, does it surprise you, Michael, when you get talking to people, you know, that you wouldn't think would have an NFL kind of affiliation or an interest or the whole lot, and all of a sudden you're kind of stuck in a Joe Random from Kerry or Galway or Loud or Waterford, and all of a sudden he's talking about the Jags or he's talking about the Jets or he's talking about the Giants or whatever? Does it surprise you that there is a real live interest across the country?
It surprised me a lot at the start, and now I've got to the point where you sort of meet people in Tesco. Like, I mean, I was in a queue for a bar at Croke Park last summer at a match, and there's people talking to me about being Jets fans, for example. I think people are fans, but especially if you've got people that are maybe, you know, in their 30s, in their 40s, and they really, you know, might not connect in that way in social media, so it can be hard to find them. But once you find them, you know, they're there, and there's so many fans, and we've seen already that, you know, we've events in Kerry, Limerick, Dublin, Derry, etc. this summer, and to see the demand for Kerry just shows you that, you know, for that area, and even though it's a rural county, it's obviously a beautiful county, the Kingdom, but there's so many fans in that region, so it doesn't surprise me at all, to be honest with you. It's great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, with that interest, of course, I suppose it's kind of growing as well, I suppose, the Aviva Stadium in August. I mean, you're looking at an event that's worth, I don't know, is it 70 or 80 million to the Irish economy? Of course, we have Georgia Tech and we have Florida coming. And of course, there's a huge Kerry interest there as well.
Yes, Castle Island man, I believe, David Shanahan, who's the punter for Georgia Tech, he will be playing in the game. And I'm not sure of the full financial effect this year on the economy in the Republic, but I believe it was 150 million euros for a single weekend last year. So honestly, like, last year was great crack, and you sort of hope in the future that maybe Dublin or somewhere else in Ireland has the chance to have an NFL game. But to see a guy, obviously, from Kerry step onto the turf in the Aviva is something special. And hopefully, maybe we'll get him to join us on Zoom that night.
Absolutely. TV. If he's not punting.
He won't. I think we'll do well together from Georgia Tech anyway.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic story as well. I mean, obviously, during COVID, I mean, he went off and I won't say learned the trade, but I mean, he was out the back garden kicking the ball and the whole lot. And it's amazing the journey he charted. That journey is unique enough because up until recently, we had a number of very near misses with Irish players, particularly in the GAA front, heading over. You might explain maybe to some of the listeners the whole idea of how a guy from County Down arrived over and everybody's watching Began, but there's an awful lot more of them on the increase.
To put it mildly, it's been a crazy off-season. For people that aren't aware, the NFL basically takes a break in terms of play from February to September. And at the end of February, four Irish guys, kickers, went out to the US and basically tried to kick into the league. And they were basically GAA players, minor senior footballers, and one guy, Charlie Smith, who was a minor goalkeeper for Down, who obviously made the Tottenham Cup yesterday, was talking to his manager at the weekend. They're all buzzing for them. He has been signed by the New Orleans Saints. And usually what happens is, if you get cut, you're done. These lads, because they're not from the US, they've got an exemption for 2 or 3 years, which is great for them. But look, I can't speak for Charlie or his coaches, but it sounds like he's doing very, very well out there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, potentially start, if not this year, maybe next year. Obviously, the biggest name has been Rory Began, who went to the Combine, came back, played in the Ulster Championship, and has had a couple of trials as well. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him, Mark Jackson also. And over the last weekend, there's been more GAA and rugby players go to the US, not just for the NFL, but quite similar to what David Shanahan's done in terms of going to college and getting a scholarship. An Armagh Minor goalkeeper, who is from Mullabon, went to the weekend and hit a 65-yard field goal. So these guys, especially the guys that are young, Charlie Smith in his early 20s, for example, they are genuinely, it's not a PR project, it's like the Americans are genuinely interested because the rules have changed and how the games are going to kick off. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a multitude of Irish talent across the league over the next few years. And hopefully, please God, we see David Shanahan make that jump. And who knows if any other Kerry players might take an opportunity as well over the next few years.
We have John Kennedy in studio way back in the day when we watched Jay in black and white. He was a fairly good kicker. John Kennedy, when you listen to those stories, did you ever say, God, you know, I'd love to get a shot at America?
Maybe, but isn't it great to see these guys getting an opportunity and going out and showing the level that they're coming from, that they're able to make it, and they're great stories, and fair play to them.
Donny Sullivan got a go at it.
He did, that's right.
Went off in the Jets.
Didn't Morris Fitz take a trip over there?
Yeah, Morris went to the Dolphins for about 3 days.
Yeah, he just went for a swim time.
He had to come home to Kerry because we won in all Ireland and ever. So, anyway. Come here to me, Michael. Well, do you reckon, do Kerry people know who Mason McCormack is now?
I'd say they might and they might not, but it's one of those things where you put me on the spot. That's the one that Paddy announced, isn't it?
That's right. That's South Dakota.
I should probably know because I was standing behind him there that night. It was just ironic that he announced a guard for the picks in Dublin or from Kerry. I thought it was hilarious. But he will go down in history, and in 50 years' time, obviously a Kerry man made that pick. So it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it is, and of course, he's Steelers as well, which is kind of they're tough old creators, the Steelers, to be fair to them. Fourth round pick, of course, Mason McCormack, South Dakota State. Could you imagine the McCormack family sitting at home or around a few beers and having nachos or whatever it was, and Paddy Clifford from Kerry comes on and announces it? Do you think they even understood?
That's the thing, because I think for a lot of those guys, they get like the phone call maybe 4 or 5 minutes beforehand. So, and they're, you know, it's very unlikely they're told they're in Ireland buying this beautiful set of mountains, just like way for the pick. They're literally watching it at the time that we watch it. And I could see from being there on the day that the Steelers obviously put a lot into it, but the NFL made a big announcement obviously beforehand that they were from the kingdom, coming from the kingdom. And I'd say his eyes were open because he's probably going, oh my God, I'm playing for a team now, and this guy's making the pick. So look, I think that weekend was fantastic. It was actually my first time down in Kerry, and I was chatting to people even just around Killarney, and sort of just the interest there is great. Paddy's obviously a massive fan, so it was great for him to have that opportunity, and hopefully it won't be the last time there's a pick made from the kingdom.
Yeah, Paddy Clifford, Aston Villa and Pittsburgh Steeler fan. You certainly will get points for that. Come here, Liam Brosnan, were you ever at an NFL game?
No,
you are an NBA man.
I was the NBA, but I'm following the NFL with years and years. The San Francisco 49ers would be my team now, Joe Montana and stuff like that. But no, I think the whole thing, I suppose, that brings it together for us over here, the whole razzmatazz at the NFL, kind of, it's a show.
Yeah.
You know, it's not only a game, but it's a show, and I think they sell it well.
Yeah.
And
you'll be out the back now cooking your burgers, which are Bud Light.
And I often, for the NFL games, I often said, like, why don't it, you know, especially for the, you could say for the Super Bowls, they'd be having parties in different places. And I said, it'd be great now to have a party here in Kerry where we could go and just all hours of the morning and watch a game. So hopefully this might be the start of something. I might be above a Donald's house, Michael, now for the Super Bowl.
And sure, we can't talk about Tyrone the championship, Michael, so we won't be fighting over that for the rest of the year, will we?
I tell you what, I'm, my ma's family's from Derry. So I'll say this because they're probably listening to me right now.
Go on.
I hope these boys win at the weekend. I hope you win. Do the business at the weekend, will you
like
please?
Family rivalry. That's awful. Paul, Mickey, Hart, God help us. Come here, tell us where it's on, when it's on, and all the information. Where can we find a little bit more information about it? We'll give you a spiel as well, the odd time as well. Don't worry about it, Michael. But when is it on?
Look, definitely appreciate the support from you guys. It's been fantastic to date. It's on Tuesday, August the 13th in the Great Sovereign. And all the details are linktr.ee, linktree.ee/NFL Ireland. Or if you're on social media, Instagram, X, whatever, NFL Ireland's the username. I say at this point, if you literally just Google Pro Football Ireland Kerry, it will come up. But we're there. We're hoping to announce a couple more guests. Look, the NFL's watching it. They're aware of it, Kerry, especially after the draft now. So we just want people to have a bit of crack, you know, and that's all it is for us. So definitely appreciate the support.
No bar. Three quick questions. Who'll win the Super Bowl 2025?
Oh God, I'm going to have to just say the Steelers and just have a laugh here.
That's
now.
Just
Steelers,
because of Paddy. Will you go here?
That's like saying Jets.
Here, what will the Jets do this year? And be careful, because I'm very, very soft on the Jets.
I mean, after what happened last year, their star player went down after four plays. And I think they'll be a lot better. They're obviously playing in London as well this
have
year.
We a chance so of making,
I think they'll have a good year.
Have we a chance of making the playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. They should definitely make the playoffs, yeah, 100%.
I'll take that. And give us a team that mightn't be very good or whatever, that maybe somebody's at home tonight saying, yeah, I might follow them for the sake of it, because this mad Tyrone fellow was on Radio Kerry there some night. He mentioned a team. Give us a team off the thing that some guy can follow.
I'd say if you're going to pick up the league, New York Giants.
Goalkeepers and penalties and maybe All-Irelands and the whole lot. This is certainly the show for it. Michael's running it. And as I said, just type in Pro Football Ireland, anything to social media, put in Kerry with it, and you'll find it. Michael, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Fair play.
Thanks very much, lads. Cheers.
No bother, that's Michael McQuaid. NFL, so there you go, John Kennedy. You are now a New York Giants fan.
Giants fan, Donald, yeah.
Good stuff. And what we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and after the break, we'll be heading to Turner's Cross.